Okay, so we are holding on Samach Amud Aleph, 7 lines from the bottom. Okay, we talked about a machlokes of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. In what cases can a woman who lent a shirt, a piece of clothing to somebody else and then found a blood stain on it, when can and can't she attribute it to the other woman? So if the other woman is a goiter or a nidir, we said in the Mishnah, no question, she can be toiler in her, because it won't be makalkal, it's not going to mess anything up for her. The goiter is tomei midrabanan anyway, the nidir is tomei midaraisa anyway. We said, what happens if the other woman, Leah, let's call her, was a shemeres yom keneged yom, and it's her one day that she needs to have a clean day, or where she was a zavak doila, and she needs 7 clean days, can we attribute it to her during that time, even though if we do, it means that it's going to mess her up and she's going to have to restart her path? Rav Shimon Gamliel says yes, Rebbe said no. So we discussed in that connection, then the last thing we started discussing was Rav Yochanan had asked Rav Yehuda bar Levi, what happens if Leah is Tomei on the grounds of a kesem? So she doesn't know for a fact that she had a re'iyah. She had a kesem, and therefore midrabanan she's Tomei. Depending, you know, for however many days, depending whether it's during the days of Nidra or Zava, as the case may be, can Rachel, the owner of the garment, attribute the stain that she found on it to Leah or not? So Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi told him, no, you can't, in Tolan. And he said, why? Because in Tolan. So Rashi had explained both Rachel and Leah are Tomei Misafik, therefore. So Leah is already Tomei Misafik because of the Kesem. And now the result is, because of this other stain, if it's on the same day which she had the original one, okay, it doesn't matter. But if it's the next day, then it makes a difference.
Is the case where we had a Kesem and a Rea?
So no, what we're talking about is over here, there were only some. Leah had a Kesem on Sunday, let's say.
Leah had a
kesem on Sunday. Now, let's say it could be later that day, it could be on Monday, whatever, that Rachel lent her a garment, and later on they found a stain on it.
Right.
In Rashi's scenario in the Mishnah, that after Rachel got it back,
and
then there's a garment, which we find another kesem on it. Right. So the question is, can we attribute the second kesem to the one who had the first kesem? So Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi tells him, no, you cannot. Why Rashi? So he said, Lafisha in Tolan, because you can't attribute it, which means Rashi explains, to begin with, we don't know for a fact that Leah had a Re'iyah. The whole thing we're making her Tomei is because of a Suffolk. After all, it might be the original stain that she found on her garment came from some external source. We're only Matama her Misuffolk. So now we can't attribute another stain on the garment to her because we don't know for a fact that she ever was staining in the first place. So that's why we can't do that. According to the Aruch, we said Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi is saying we don't even have to give a reason. That's the halacha. There's no question. Okay, so that's where we're at.
So they both tell me misafik.
Well, no. So again, Leah has already told me misafik anyway on the grounds of her original kesem. But Rachel, yes, is going to be telling me misafik because the stain might have come from her. Eighth base. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi from a braisa. The Brisa says, Ein Tolim Kesem B'Kesem. Yes, you can't attribute the second stain to the one who produced the first stain, because again, we don't know that the first one necessarily was staining at all. It could be the stain came from an external source. However, the Brisa continues, Hishilo Chalukal Amnachris, if a woman lent her shirt to a goita, only a Sheves ala Kesem, or to a woman who's already sitting in Tuma because of a Kesem, Harezu Tolabah, then she could attribute it to her. So before we get to the question on Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi, we first have to understand the Braisa. The Braisa seems to be contradicting itself. First it's saying you can't be Torah, a Kesem, and a Kesem, and then it's saying you can. So first of all, Hagufa Kasha. The Braisa first says, Ein Tolim Kesem, B'Kesem. It's two parts of the same Braisa, right? It's all the same Braisa, right? A Reisha and a Seisa. So the Reisha says, Ein Tolim Kesem, B'Kesem.
Right.
Fine, that's exactly
right.
What Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi said. Right. But the second part says that if Leah was a Yesheves ala Kesem, then yes, you could attribute it to her. So what do you mean? That means you could attribute a Kesem to somebody who had a Kesem. Right, so Hog Gufa Kashi, you have a contradiction in the Braisa. Reisha Amrit Ein Tolim, Seifa Amrit Tolim. First you're saying you can't be Tola, and then you're saying you could. So first let's explain that, and then after that we'll get back to how Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi is going to understand this Braisa. So unless it's Holei, the answer is Holei Kasha, that's not a problem, because HaRebi, B'Harab Shimon Gamliel, the two parts of the Braisa can be respectively according to Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Yeah, sometimes you have that, sometimes you have even in one Mishnah, you have, sometimes the Gemara will tell us that different parts of a Mishnah come from different Tanaim. So the same thing over here. Yeah. So the same thing over here you can have. Rebbe again said, Rebbe held, there's a very limited situation in which you can be Tola or Kesem in somebody, and somebody else, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel allows for a more expansive thing of it. So therefore, fine, Rebbe versus Rav Shimon Gamliel are going to be arguing whether you can attribute to her or not. Ikadamri, another version, some say that Hava HaRebbe, you could say both parts of the Brice are indeed according to Rebbe, Hava Rishin Shalah, Hava Shedi Shalah, because we could be saying one part of the Brice is talking about on the first day, the day that she actually had the Kesem, and the other one is talking about the second day. Because we said in the Gemara earlier that Rebbe, we brought before, Brice, that Rebbe would agree if it's, forget about where she originally had a stain, not that she had an actual Re'ia. We said if it's on the actual day of her Re'iyah, then Rebbe will agree that you can attribute the blood stain to her because it's not, first of all, it's not messing her up because anyway she's Tomei that day. And second of all, anyway, that whole day she has Chazaka Mayim Kosuach, that the womb is open and she's likely to be bleeding that day. So therefore, so on that day, then you could tell her the Kesem. On the day when she had the Kesem itself, fine. You can't say maybe she doesn't have a Chazaka, that her womb is open because we don't know the original Kesem came from her. So the Sefer would be on the first day and the Reisha would be on the second day. Right, right.
You would think that it should be organized the other way around.
No, it doesn't have to be. The basic rule is Ein Tolin Kesem B'Kesem. However, if she's Yeshebet Sala Kesem, right now she's sitting in a state of Tumah, because then we can be Tolin. Rav Ashi gives a third answer. Havahar Rav Shimon Gamliel. You could say, so again, if we say that the whole Braita is according to Rebbe, again, Rebbe would take the view whenever you're causing it to lengthen her days that she needs a day, an extra day of Tara, then you can't do that. But here you don't need to, because on the day she had the original Kesem anyway, and she's anyway. Rebbe would say, whenever being Tola is in the second woman, in Leah, is going to cause her to lose days of her count, then you can't do that.
Suffix.
Because right, you can't be Tola or Kesem, but here, because maybe because you can only be Tola. You have a concept Tola and a Sakal Kolab and Makokol, that you have a concept that you can attribute something that's messed up to something that's already messed up. But over here, Rebbe would say she's not so messed up yet because she only needed, let's say, one clean day. She had the stain, let's say, on Sunday, and now on Monday she needs one day. She needs one clean day, assuming it was during the days of Ziva, let's say. So whereas like this, if you're going to attribute to her on Monday, then the result is that she has to have an extra day, just that Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. So we could say in the when it's on the day when she had the original Kesem, then attributing the new Kesem to her is not going to mess her up any more than she was. Whereas on the next day it would. Okay. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Havahar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Both parts of the Braisa could be. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the low kasha, it's still not a contradiction. Kan lamachreya, kan lahabo. It depends whether we're talking retroactively or in the future. Now, Rashi explains like this.
Meaning what?
Well, one second. Rashi explains like this. As far as saying whether she's tomei retroactively, to talk about retroactive trauma, that you could be tola in her because. You're Tola in her, but on the other hand, it doesn't mean that she's actually going to be Tomei v'Mafreya. It means you're saying that it may have come from her. But at this point, you know, Tara she already worked with or whatever. But Mikanu Lahabba, but to say that from now on, now after the blood stain was found, to say that Rachel should be attributed to Leah, that you can't do. That you can't do, because why should Leah have to suffer any more than Rachel? It didn't necessarily come from Leah any more than it came from Rachel. That's how Rashi explains it. That's how Rashi explains it. Tosfos explains it differently. Tosfos says it's a little bit hard to understand. I mean, it comes out. You're kind of splitting the difference over here. Like you're saying you're attributing it for one purpose but not for another. So the read in Tosfos explains that the Lamachreya and Lahaba refers to when was the stain discovered. Let's say, for example, the one who originally had the Kesem, let's say she knew she had a Kesem, then she and her friend put on the same shirt, we found a Kesem, fine, she already knew beforehand that she's Tomei, before the Suffolk came up, therefore we can attribute it to her, that's for my friend. Lahabba would mean that they both put on the shirt, one after the other, now we find a Kesem. We don't know who the Kesem came from. Now she wore another shirt, and she herself found a Kesem for it. So now we'll have Ba, meaning in other words, eventually she finds out that she's Tommy later that day. She finds out she's Tommy because of a testing. But she didn't know at the time she wore the original shirt that she was going to be Tommy from a testing, because she only discovered it later. So that's how Tosis explains the and Lahaba. Okay, then Tosis gives another possibility that maybe it refers to whether the shirt was borrowed before or after she knew that she was coming from a kesem. Okay, anyway, the point is that that's another way of explaining the Braisa. So therefore, again, no contradiction. Anyway, the bottom line with Kol Mokum Kasha, the bottom line is that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Livoi said you cannot be Tola a kesem in somebody who had a kesem. And here in this Braisa, we see that there are scenarios when you can.
That's
a contradiction. The answer is Amar Ravina, like Kasha. The answer is Ravina says it's not a problem because you can explain the Braisa as follows. Again, let's look back at the Braisa. It said you can't be Tola a Kesem and a Kesem, but if she lent it to a Goita or to a woman who's Yeshevet a Kesem, then you could. So Ravina says here's another way of explaining that line. Hachikama. Suppose that the Jewish woman, Rachel, lent it to a goita who herself is Tomei from a kesem. Then she could attribute it to her. Now, what do you mean? So Rashi. Well, so the point is, because the goita is Tomei anyway, but the point isn't. Okay, so 1 second. So Rashi actually says what it means is we're not necessarily talking about that the goita is Tommy because of kesem. When you get down to it, the whole din of kesem only applies to Jewish women. What we mean is, as we talked about yesterday on Amud Aleph, we said that there is a case of nachris haroya, a goita who has previously menstruated, and therefore we're able to attribute a stain to her, as we said in the Mishnah. So the Braisa is saying basically the same thing. If she lent it to a goita, if Leah is not another Jewish woman but rather a goita, and this goita has previously menstruated, then you're able to attribute the stain to her. She, in effect, is called Balas HaKesem. We assume that she's the one who produced the stain, and therefore we can attribute it to her, and therefore Rachel remains to her.
On the basis,
because we said in the Mishnah, goita anyway is not going to be Makokal. There's no messing her up, because she's anyway Tomei D'Rabbanan. Whether we say the stain came from her or not,
to be Makel
on the first woman, right. When we're able to be Tola, we said in the previous paragraph that Ksamim only Drabbanon, and therefore we'll make all when we can with them. So this is an example, This is an example where we make all because, So the question is, Vaha Oliya Sheva Salakesim Katoni. What do you mean? The Braisa didn't say that's one case. The Braisa said that if you lent it to a goita or to a woman who was sitting in Tumah because of a kesem, that obviously can't be referring to a goita, because a goita doesn't have the din of ksamim. She's not going to be considering herself Tomei on the grounds of a kesem, so it's evidently two different cases. The answer is Hoki Kamar. You're right, but what you can say, what the Braisa means, when it says Oli Yesheves, means Oli Yesheves al Dam Toihar. Or the Yesheves would not mean a woman who's considering herself Tomei because of a kesem. We're talking about a woman who's sitting in a state of Dam Tara, where she's doing the 33 or 66 days,
a Jewish woman
who is producing Tahar blood because she's during the period after a birth. When her blood is Tahar, then again, we said previously on Amud Aleph that even Rebbe would agree you can be Tola, this is a stain in her because, again, it's not going to mess her up because she's Tahar during these days anyway. Right. So according to that, the Braisa is not any contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Livoi, because it's not talking about the regular case where a woman is sitting ala kesem. It's talking about either a goita or Yesheva Saldam Toya. So then, then we consider her to be the owner of the kesem. We consider that she's the one who produced the kesem, and therefore the original owner of the garment can be Tola in her. So no contradiction to it. It's true.
It doesn't change anything.
No. Well, in other words, all we're saying, right, it doesn't change anything for Rachel, because it doesn't change anything for Leah. Precisely, because Leah is Yesheves Aldam Toher anyway, and any blood that she produces is Toher anyway during these 33 or 66 days, then, therefore, you can attribute a kesem to her, and that way it keeps Rachel Tahar, the original owner of the garment. No. What we're saying, that's going back to what we said in the Mishnah. Where it's not going to be Makalkal, the same one, then you can attribute it to her. When it's going to be Makalkal, right. Well, that's what it is. In other words, we're saying, the Tolan is Makalkal of Makalkal. We have a concept in Halacha that we can attribute something that's messed up to something else that's already messed up. Al-Derech, like, well, Al-Derech, sort of like we say, you know, Gaugel and Tchutli and Zakev and Chovili and Chayev, that Hashem arranges that good things happen on auspicious days and bad things happen on another one. So it's a little bit vaguely like that also over here. We're saying that, let's say that if the one who borrowed the shirt is either not going to become any more tummy because of the stain, or not going to be tummy at all because, for example, she's a Shevet al Bantayer, then we can attribute the Kalkala to her, and that way we're not messing her up. As opposed to when it would involve that it's messing something up for her, then we can't, according to Rebbe, at least we certainly can't do that, because why should we mess things up for her any more than for Rachel? Then we have to say it's a 50-50 chance that it's one or the other. Right. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Shalish Shalav Shechula, Shahir Ram Nechem Yechula. We had a case in the Mishnah where three women wore the same shirt one after the other, or they sat on a bench and you found blood on it. But all of them are tummy, because again, we don't have any reason to attribute it to one more than the other. But we said if they sat on a stone bench or whatever, then Ram Nechemya says they're tar, because stone is not makabel tumah, and therefore it's not makabel ksamim.
From there, we're inferring that one transmitted a tumah to another one.
No. It's not that they transmit tumor. If you have the three women sat on the same wooden bench, let's say, one after the other, and we find later on blood over there, well, who did it come from? Did it come from Sarah, from Rivka, or from Rachel? It could have been any one of the three. Therefore, all three of them are telling misafir. But what we're saying is, when Nechemiah is saying in the Mishnah, that if it's a stone bench, for example, which is not Mekabel Trumah, no, because since the whole concept of Kesem is only Dirabbanan, then we learned in the previous parak, that Reb Nechemya holds, it does not apply when the object on which you found the Kesem is not Mekabel Trumah. And since a stone bench is not Mekabel Trumah.
Sitting on the stone bench.
One after the other.
Kesem was on the stone bench also?
Yes, that's what we're talking about. You found the Kesem on the stone bench. We don't know which of the three of them it came from, but Reb Nechemya says, because it's on stone, which is not Mekabel Trumah, therefore we don't worry about it. Because it's only the right. Rav Masna, my time is Rav Nechemya. So Rav Masna says, why indeed, where does Rav Nechemya get this idea that if it's not Makabal Tumah, then a Kesem on it doesn't matter? We said that halacha, but where does he get it from? Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk. So the earlier Tosef explains that he's not really learning from the pasuk, it's more of an asmachta, but whatever. The pasuk in Yeshaya, v'nikosa la'aretz teshev. She will be clean and she will sit on the ground. In context, the pasuk is talking about how the Jewish people are going to be like cleaned out of all their possessions and sit on the ground in mourning after the korban. But the fact that it phrases it that way, she will be cleansed, she will sit on the ground, means kivin she yoshva la'aretz nikasa. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, the last word the parak gives. Again, that's why Tosef. That's one reason why Tosef says it's not matzah. Kivin she basically it's derabanan because the whole concept of ksamim is derabanan. Kivin she yoshva la'aretz nikasa. Once she sits on the ground and the ground is not makabel tumah, then we consider her clean. Any blood that we find over there, we don't worry about. Okay. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chanina, mitar hoyer Rav Nechemya afilu ba'achorei klei cheres. Now we know that a kli cheres is only makabel tumah from the inside. We know that if a source of tumah touches a kli cheres on the outside, then nothing happens. So Rav Huna is saying in the name of Rav Chanina that Rav Nechemya would say it's tahor even if it's on the outside of a kli cheres. So again, let's say there was a stone, not stone, an earthenware pitcher, let's say, that was closed, and you know, let's say somebody took a pitcher and turned it upside down and she sat on it. Later on, we find a blood stain on it. No problem. She's tahor. So the question is, Chita, isn't that obvious? We know that the outside of a kli cheres is not makabel tumah, so it's subject to the same rule of Rav Nechemya. The answer is, Ma'udetema, Ligzer Gabay, Alta Toicha. You would have thought that maybe Rav Nechemya is going to say, you have to at least make a Zera, because the outside is too easily confused with the inside. And then you should say that she should be taught her in that case. Kamash Halon. Because once you have, if you're going to think that if you find the blood on the outside, she's taught her, you're going to mistakenly think that if you find the blood on the inside, she's also taught her. And you're not going to realize that the inside is makabel tumah and the outside is not. Therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore, Rav Huna wants to tell us that no, Rav Nechemya will still apply his rule in that case. The outside is not makabel tumah, therefore she's not tumah. Amar Abaya, Abaya says in this connection also, Matar hoyer Rav Nechemya b'matlonius she'en behen shalosh al shalosh. Also, Rav Nechemya would say, by the same token, that she's tahor if she finds the blood on a piece of cloth which is less than 3x3 etzbos. Because that's not makabel tumah either. Such a small piece of cloth is not suitable for either poor people or rich people, because even poor people will save scraps of cloth to use for patches for their clothes. They won't save such a small scrap. unless if a person specifically does, then you can talk about maybe whether they were machshavit or whatever. But ordinarily, such a small piece is not makabel truma.
A patch could be a small piece.
Yeah, but it was, even a patch has a certain. Even a poor person is not going to bother with a piece of cloth that's less than that. So therefore, again, it's not makabel truma. Therefore, stain on it is not an issue. Again, we have to stress that all of this is talking about dafka when you find a stain on it, where after all, you don't know 100% for sure that it came from her or not. We're not talking about, let's say, if you use a cloth of that size for bedikah and she finds blood on it, then there's nothing to talk about. Then we know it came from her. Then the only suffix is that it comes from the cheder or from the aliyah or whatever, and they already say that once when it's less than 3x3, it's five. I'm saying if she uses it as a bedikah cloth
right. And
actually wipes the chur of a seduction, then that's different. We're talking about just.
I don't see how you can say, from where it goes, reflects on where it comes from.
The point is, Rabbi Nechemiah is saying, since the Rabbanan are the ones who came up with the concept of Tumas Shamim, they also said, based on, we had that, and they have the Atmakta from the Pasuk, that if the thing is not Makabal Tumah, then it's not Makabal Tumas Shamim. Different Rishonim talk about different possibilities. Maybe what it is once we say that the object is not able to be Tomei, then we can't really say that she's Tomei either. It's illogical to say that the thing is not Tomei, but she is. Another possibility is maybe because the Chachamim generally make their exeris about things that are common. It's more common you're going to find the blood on something which is Makabal Tomei. It's less common that you're going to find it on the ground or a stone bench or whatever.
Let's take a hypothesis. Let's say she was Nida, we know she was Nida. We know she was Nida, fine, no problem.
Right.
Then we see that she got some blood on something that's not the Makabel Tumah.
Fine, she's already Nida anyway.
What is the thing?
It doesn't matter. At that point, she's already during her 7 days of Nida anyway. If she started bleeding on Sunday, it doesn't matter whether she only had one drop on Sunday or whether she's bleeding continuously from Sunday through Shabbat.
It's not Makabel Tumah.
It doesn't matter at that point. Doesn't matter. There, we're not dealing with the blood itself is Tomei because of Mayonis. We learned that previously.
Right. And so, the object is not Makabel Tumah.
That's fine. So in that case, then fine. The blood is Tomei, but the object is not Makabel Tumah. That's no difference. For example, let's say if a Zob sits on something which is not meant for sitting on, where we tell him, I'm already Nasim Alkeinu, get up, we need to use this for work, the thing is not Tomei, even though the Zob is. Yeah. Okay. So it's been right. Okay, so Gemara says, Dora Shabchia bar Rav Masna Meshmei de Rav, Halacha could Rav Nechemia. Okay, so Rav Chia bar Rav Masna Darshan in the name of Rav, that Halacha is like Rav Nechemia. If the thing is not Makabel Tumah, then a Kesem on it doesn't matter. Omolei Rav Nachman, Abatoni, so Rav Nachman tells him, you should know, my father taught a Braisa that says, Maisa Bolich Ne Chachamim Betimum, that a case like that came to the Chachamim, where blood was found on something which is not Makabel Tumah, and they declared her Tumah. But after Amit Halacha could Rav Nechemia, you're telling me that Halacha is like Rav Nechemia. Ma'i, what was that case that came to the Chachamim? D'tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Shtei noshim shoyu tochnes berechayim shoyad. Suppose you have two women that are working together on grinding using a handmill. A mill in those days was made of two stones, one on top of the other, where there's a hole in the middle, and one of them pivots on top of the other one, and you put the grain in, and it gets ground between them. You had a handmill would usually have, to actually turn the stones themselves would be pretty hard, so you'd have a handle attached to the top one, which you'd use, the handle, to get leverage to be able to turn it round and round. So like this, you have the handle is long, and you have two women are holding it, and so you have the mill, and then you have the handle sticking out. You have one woman closer to the stones and one woman further away. And they're pushing or pulling the handle together and going and walking in a circle round and round.
They're going in different directions?
No, they're going both in the same direction.
Same direction.
If we find blood on the ground under the inner one, under the one who's walking in the smaller circle, closer to the stones, Shtei and Tneis, then both of them are Tomei. Why? Because even the one who's walking towards the outside tends to move closer to the inside.
Okay, so that much.
Well, not enough that now she may have stepped there at some point, and so therefore both of them may have stepped over that area, and we don't know. On the other hand, tachas achitzayna, but if we find the blood under the outer one, the one who's further away from the millstone, achitzayna may have apni mistahara. Only the outer woman is tamei, the inner one is tahar, because the inner one is not going to be moving towards the outside. So therefore, we know for a fact the blood came from the outer woman.
In order for it to get out of the millstone, she has to walk towards.
No. We're talking about, in other words, that. But you have the middle, you know, you have, there's a smaller circle and then there's a larger circle. So if you find the blood in the larger circle, only the woman who was walking on the larger circle,
on the outside, right.
The one.
But the one that's inside it eventually has to get out, has to walk.
Fine. We're talking about, in other words, that we know we checked beforehand and we didn't find the blood there. And now, after they're doing this work, then we find it there.
But I said that it came from the outside, but this person inside walked out, and then afterwards she walked out.
If she walked out before we found the blood, then yeah, you have the suffix, but we're talking about she didn't. Yeah. They tie him. What if you find it between the two circles, Shtei and Tnaeus, and both of them are Tomei, because now we don't know which one it came from.
Okay.
So if it's on the inside circle, then both of them are Tomei, because even the outer one tends to move towards the inner circle. In the
fourth case, in one case, one
in one case only one is Tomei, and in the third case, both of them are Tomei because between them, right?
Okay.
The point is, in other words, that we see that blood was found on the ground, and yet we're being metamed again. Hoyomaisa, also there was a case, Venimta Damas Fossa Shalom Bambi, there was a case where they found blood on the lip of the tub in a bathhouse, where the women had gone there to bathe, and they found blood on the edge. Val Ola Shol Zayis, another case, they found blood on an olive leaf, Bishal Shamasikas Zatanner, when there were women over there who were stoking an oven, who were firing up an oven, and there was an olive leaf lying over there, and they found blood on it. Again, an olive leaf is not Makabal Tumah. And the case was brought to the Chachamim, and they said it's Tameh. So what are you telling me the halacha is like Reb Nechemya when you see an actual case where they were Metameh then? The answer is, no, it's Tanoi. It's actually a machlok, it's Tanoi. Titani, Reb Yaakov Metameh, Reb Nechemya Metar. Reb Yaakov would say she's Tameh. Reb Nechemya says she's Tar. V'horu Chachamim, Reb Nechemya. The Chachamim paskin in practice like Reb Nechemya. So yes, we have Reb Yaakov would say that in all these cases. So the Chachamim of these brises, when we say that the Chachamim, we're Matame, who we mean Reb Yaakov and anybody who holds like him. But he's only a Das Yachid. Reb Nechemya is also a Das Yachid. So very well, we can pass him like Reb Nechemya. And that's the halacha.
Chacham hold like him.
So then, right. As we said, Vahoru Chachamim, Reb Nechemya. Well, we said Vahoru Chachamim, the other Chachamim passed him like Reb Nechemya. With the other Chachamim of that generation, or later generations, whatever. Okay, Mishnah says, Sholish Noshim Shoyu Shenis Mimita Achas. Suppose that three women are all lying together in one bed. The Nimsa Dam Tachas Achas Mehen. Later on, you find blood under one of them. So which one did it come from? Kulan Tmeis, all of them are Tomei. Because again, we don't know which one it came from. Because people move, as we're going to see in the Gemara, people move around the bed. Budka Achas Mehen the Nimsa.
Of three men, and you find one.
Men don't. Why ever not? Maybe we would. But wait, bav ka achas mehen v'nimtes tmeya. If one of them did a bedikah and found that indeed she is bleeding, that she is tomei, she's tmeya. Shtei and tahoris. Then fine, we say she's tomei. We can assume then that blood stain that we found on the bed doesn't matter. Okay, so the other ones are going to be tomei too much erev. They're not going to be tomei too much nidah. Okay. So he's tmeya. Shtei and tahoris. So she's tomei, and the other two are tahor because. Then we can assume that the blood after all came from
him. And other two diseases also?
No, the pashtus we don't need. The pashtus, all we need is that she did, right? The toilus zubazu. Now, they can attribute the blood one to the other, as we'll see in the Gemara. If the three women are in different stages of life or whatever, where one of them is more likely to be having dam nida than other. Yeah, we're talking about even without the bedikah. In other words, we're saying right that for example, let's say we're going to say in the Gemara. Let's say for example, some of them are pregnant and some of them are not. Pregnant women don't usually menstruate. Non-pregnant women do. So therefore, we can assume that the blood came from the one who isn't pregnant, and then so forth. Similar with the old ones, and similarly, right?
But what are we going to do about the ones pregnant? We're not going to do a bedikah.
What we're saying is that the one who's pregnant is able to assume it didn't come from me. I'm pregnant. I don't usually menstruate.
And if we find the two others are not, we do a bdika for the two others?
Well, then we have no choice. Fine. Then we have no choice. We're going to have to go back to what we said. That's right. The im loy hoyu ru'uyin liros. If they're not if they're not suitable to be having Re'ias, if, for example, what if all three of them are pregnant, let's say, Roya Noisen, Kayla and Re'ias, then we have to consider as if they were, as they are all suitable, because after all, somebody produced the blood, and we don't know who, so then we have no reason to... No, we're talking about there was no blood in this bed. So if all three of them are pregnant, then... Exactly. But, and if they all three do Re'ias and they don't find anything, okay, but the blood had to come from somewhere, so we're still doing help. This that we're saying in the Mishnah, that if she did a bedikah and found she's tamei, then she can assume the blood came from her, and therefore the other two are tamei. That's talking about only if she did the bedikah immediately within shiur vest, which we learned back in the first and second paragraph, means a very short amount of time after the blood was found. So therefore, then we can... We said the amount of time it takes to wipe herself, or the amount of time it takes to get out of bed and rinse herself off, whatever. Yeah, it was a very short amount of time.
Hours,
yeah. Okay, but nevertheless, so we still can't do anything about before it was found. Yeah, you know. Kol ha-tumah k'shas metiyasan. We have a concept in halakha, but with any tumah, we look at what's the situation when it's first found. So as soon as it's found, she does a bedikah. Okay. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? Sovolok Barpada, he holds in this regard like Barpada, the Omar, where Barpada says, here's a general rule. We know, we've talked about earlier about cases where a woman was working with food of taharas and then she becomes tamei, she becomes nida. But what happens? We said that there are cases where the taharas are definitely tamei, and there are cases where the taharas are only suffix tamei. For example, during the 24 hours before, it's only suffix tamei. So Bar Panda says this. Here's a general rule. Kol shabayla b'chatas, in any case where we would say that her husband has to bring a chatas, then taris sa'atzmeis, then we would also say, in a parallel case, her taris are definitely tamei and we would burn them. Meaning, in other words, that, let's say, so she was working with taris, then she finished working with them, she set the food aside, and immediately within kashir vest did a bedika and found blood. Now, if that were to happen after she and her husband had relations, we learned in the second parak, if they had relations and then immediately afterwards, the soch shir vest, she immediately did bedikah and found blood, we would say her husband has to bring a chatas. It wouldn't be a suffix, for which maybe he would bring an oshen toli, maybe not. We talked about different opinions about that. The halacha is he wouldn't bring an oshen toli, but whatever. Anyway, the point is, if she finds the blood, the soch shir vest, then we consider it a vade. We consider that it's a definite thing that the blood definitely started while they were still having relations. And therefore, he has to bring a chatas. In a parallel case, taris se'otzmeis, then her taris would be tamei. So in other words, if she finished having relations and then did a bedikah within this amount of time, kashir vest, or if she finished working with taris and then did a bedikah kashir vest and found tamei, either way, her husband brings a chatas and the taris definitely tamei and have to be burnt.
But
if it's a case where her husband is only bringing an oshem toleri, which actually we learned in the second paragraph, the halacha is he actually doesn't bring an oshem toleri, because we said that actually there's no vadei tuma over here, but nevertheless, whatever, according to the opinion that he would bring an oshem toleri, namely if she did a bedikah only later on, and found Tommy. So we don't know now whether it actually took place during while they were having relations or afterwards. So her husband maximum is bringing an Oshin Tolery. Taris Sloyas. Then in a similar case, the Taris, if she worked prepared the food of Taris, and then later on, sometime later, she did a bedikah and found Tommy, the Taris are not definitely Tommy, because we don't know that she was actually bleeding. It's only a suffix. No carbon chakas, but the point is the taras are not definitely tamei. We can't burn them, because you can't burn truma or kodshim that we don't know are tamei. Instead, we have to be toiler, we have to set them aside until either they spoil, or they become definitely tamei, or it's chomets on air case, that can be burning, or whatever.
What's the effect on tira revia to do a bedikah immediately after consumption?
What does one have to do with the other?
Well, really, one has to do with that. A lot has to do with the other.
You mean because you might wipe out all of the zera?
Yeah,
I don't think, not necessarily. I think enough of it will
not
get it.
Okay,
apparently. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, we learned previously, and actually Tosfos mentions it over here also, if she has a regular vest kavua, she doesn't necessarily have to do a bedikah after relations anyway, because we don't assume that she's going to be bleeding stem in the middle of the month. Then she would have to do a bedikah right away. Okay, so then, okay, I mean, she doesn't have to do a bedikah right away, but if she doesn't, then it's a suffix whether her husband is bringing a chatas or not.
The only way the bedikah would be more possibly is if he's bearing the tire.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, Bhagavata is saying that it depends whether she did the Bedikha right away. So therefore, it's what Rav Yehuda is saying in the name of Rav, same thing in our Mishnah. Only if the one woman did a Bedikha immediately and found that she was Tomei, then we can assume that the blood that was found in the bed comes from her. But if it was only later on, maybe, maybe not.
How much later?
Longer than she arrests, which we said was Kadesha Tatum, Namisa Kadia Padeha, the amount of time it takes her to get out of bed and rinse herself, or the amount of time it takes to reach under the pillow and get an aid and then do a dick or whatever. We talked about it in the second part. Okay. That's Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. But Rav Oshia Amar, Rav Oshia says, he disagrees with Rav Pada's rule. He says, no, Afila Baila Bechasas Tareseh Tloyes. Even if she does a Bedikah immediately afterwards, where in the case where she had relations, we would say, fine, her husband is bringing a chatas, because there's no question the blood started while they were having relations, but it's a similar thing happened with Taras. She finished working with food of Taras, did a bedikah, the soch shir vest, and found blood. We would still say, Rav Oshia says that the Taras are not definitely tomei, they're only sophic tomei. So the Gemara, so she finished working with Taras, she was working with Taras, with food of Taras, then she stopped, she immediately did a bedikah, the soch shir vest from when she left alone the food, and found that she's Tomei. Nevertheless, Rav Oshia says, not like by Pada that the food is definitely Tomei, the food is only sophic Tomei, says Rav Oshia.
We don't eat it, but we don't burn it.
Right, well, we can't burn it, but we can't eat it, exactly right. So why is that? Because he says, Vishlema Hostam, because he says, one thing when it comes to relations, you know why, if she does the Bedikah right away, why is her husband bringing a chatas, Emer Shamash Akve Ladam? Because you could say, why is it that the blood was not found previously while they were having relations? Why is it that it was only found immediately? Why we can assume that it was there already, but we could say, Emer Shamash Akve Ladam. We could assume that the shamash, which is a euphemism for the male organ, blocked the blood and prevented it from coming out. So therefore, in other words, Rav Oshia would say, so she obviously can't check while they're having relations, but we can assume that even if blood was starting to come out, the shamash prevented it, blocked it from coming out. Therefore, she does a bedikah immediately afterwards. If she finds blood, fine, we have a good, strong reason to assume that it started coming out while they were having
relations. If the shamash blocked it, then when he washed himself, he should find the blood.
Maybe, maybe not. So it could be it could just be the tip or whatever. Aval hasa, but when it comes to Tyrus, she wasn't having relations. Im isa to have a dam, if there was blood already coming, man akve, then who stopped it from coming? So therefore, we shouldn't assume, in other words, just because she does a bedikah immediately afterwards and finds blood, that necessarily it was coming while she was producing the tyrus, because we shouldn't expect it would have taken that long to trickle out. So therefore, there's nothing to block it. Therefore, it would only be a suffix, says Rav Oshia. Okay. Rav Yirmiyah says, what's an analogy we can give to what Rav Oshia is saying, this idea that we're saying that the shamash can block the blood from coming out? Picture you have a young man and an old man are walking on the road. As long as they're on the road, the young man walks more slowly because he's waiting for the old man to catch up with him. But in those days, maybe they had more debt. Yeah, we're talking about maybe in those days they had a little more debt for their elders. I don't know. Especially you have to realize, I mean, traveling alone was very dangerous in those days, you know. So, yeah, he's not going to. Nichnasulatir, but once they get into the city.
Yeah,
and
know that.
Okay, whatever. Yelah doesn't necessarily mean a little kid. It means a younger person. Nichnasulatir, but once they get into the city and each one is going in their own direction. Yelah, Mamahar Lava. Yeah, have a nice day. And then the kid goes, and then the young man goes and then hurries up and walks at his normal, faster pace. So in other words, the same way Rav Yirmiyah is saying, by a similar analogy, with Rav Oshia would say, as long as the shamash is in there, the blood is waiting for it to come out, but as soon as it leaves, then immediately the blood starts coming. Abaya says, here's a different analogy to understand Rav Oshia's opinion. What is it like? Like a person sticks his finger in his eye. As long as the finger is in the eye, dima shoy halavai, the tears, even though they're getting formed in the eye, are slow in coming out because the finger is blocking them. Nikola espa, as soon as you take out the finger, dima maharas lavai, and the tears start pouring out. So the same thing over here, the blood may be blocked by the shamash, withdrawn, then immediately it starts coming. Okay.
Why do we have to compare it to anything? It's obvious, right?
I don't know. I guess you're Jungian. I felt that you need an analogy in order to clarify, maybe to clarify your point, why we wouldn't expect to find blood on his age in that case, because we're not necessarily saying that it's physically blocked by the Aether. We're saying, in other words, that we're saying that as long as it's in there, then you have, you know, the physiology is not going to start flowing yet. Whatever.
It depends how much you have.
I guess it depends. I don't know. Okay. Then we said in the mission of a toilet zubazu, we said that the women are able to attribute the blood to each other. So what does that mean? Turn it up on them. Kate said toilet zubazu. What does that mean that we say that one of them can attribute to the other? For example, obra v'sheina obra, if some of them are pregnant and some of them are not, toilet obra v'sheina obra, the one who's pregnant can attribute the blood to the one who's not pregnant, and therefore the one who's pregnant, the one or ones who are pregnant are not going to be tamei, and the other one is. Similarly, if some of them are nursing and some of them are not, again, nursing women don't usually menstruate. Same thing. Then the ones who are nursing can attribute to the ones who are not nursing. If some of them are old and then postmenopausal and some not, then again, the old ones can attribute it to the younger ones. And if some of them are basulos and some of them are not, basulos over here does not mean virgins as far as they've never had relations, because that it means what we learned in the first paragraph was called basulas dum, that she's never yet menstruating, as opposed to a girl who's old enough so that she's actually started menstruating, even she may or may not be married at that point yet, but she's basulas dumim versus not basulas dumim. So the same thing, basula b'sheina basula, if you have some of the women are younger who have not yet started menstruating, and some of them are older and they have, so then the ones who haven't yet can attribute it to the ones who have. What if both of the women, or all three women, or whatever, are pregnant or nursing or old? So what if all of them are young women? Well, this is what the last part of the Mishnah says. If they're not suitable to be seeing blood, in other words, if none of them are in the situation where they would normally be menstruating, royan, kilo, and royas, we have to consider as if they were, because the fact of the matter is, the blood obviously came from somewhere, and therefore, they're both Tomei Mesafik. Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting point. What about, for example, let's say none of these women are pregnant or old or what have you, but let's say you have one of them has a regular vest and one of them does not. Let's say during the time when the one who has the regular vest, she's not expected to be menstruating. Tosfos says in Tosfos, she can't be toilet. She can't necessarily be toilet. That's not a strong enough thing. Mishnah says, Shalosh Noshim Shoyer Shenis Mitachas. Suppose that three women are sleeping in one bed. The nimtza dam tachas emsois, and we find blood under the middle woman. Now we're going to see in the Gemara. We're going to have to see in the first thing we're going to discuss in the Gemara is what's the difference between this and the previous case. But both there we also have three women sleeping in the bed, and we said all of them are tummy, and here we're saying it depends where we find the blood. So we're going to deal with that in the Gemara. The nimtza dam tachas emsois, so if we find blood under the middle woman, kulam tmeis, then all of them are tummy, because similar to like what we said before about the women who are turning the millstone, they move around a little bit. So therefore, the one on one side may have moved towards the middle, and the one on the other side may have moved towards the middle at some point, and therefore the blood could have come from any of them. But tachas apnimis, but if you find the blood under the inner woman, inner, let's say, meaning the one closer to the wall, shtayim apnimis tmeis b'chitzonet tahara. So she and the woman next to her are tamei, but the one further away is tahara, because there's no way she could have gotten that far over. Tachas achitzonet, and if you find the blood under the outer woman, the one furthest away from the wall, let's say, the other way around, shtayim b'chitzonet tmeis, she and the woman next to her are tamei, because the blood could have come from either of them, apnimis tahara, and the one on the inside, the one closest to the wall, let's say, is tahara, because again, she couldn't have possibly rolled over that far. Amasai, the Gemara says, when does that apply? On the side of it, he says that in the Mishnah, the Omer of Yehuda, Amasai, v'zman sha'avru derech margolos hamitzah. That all applies only if the women got into bed from the foot of the bed. So you have, here's a bed. Margolos is the foot of the bed. So in other words, what we mean is, here's a bed in front of us. So we have the first woman climbed in over here, and now she's stretched out over here, so she didn't ever pass over this area. The second woman like this, the third one like this. Avol im avru derech aleha But if they all came in one over the other, in other words, so let's say they came in from the side. So the first one walks over here and then climbs over and then rolls over to here. And the second one comes in and then lies down next to her, and the third one. Then, no matter where we find the blood, kolam shmeis, and all of them are chamei, because all of them passed over this area, let's say. So then, there's no reason to say that only the woman sleeping here and here are chamei. They're the one who's sleeping closer to the wall. She also walked over there. The blood may have dripped from her as she was walking.
The question of it, if the man wouldn't have found it.
No, we were talking about they found it after they're all in bed. But yeah, nevertheless, we still don't know. Continues the Mishnah. Suppose now that one of these women does a bedikka and she finds that she's tahor. She tahoro shtayim tmeis. Fine, then she's tahor, and the other two are tamei because she found she's tahor. So obviously the blood didn't come from her. If the blood came from her, there would still be some left on her. Bodku shtayim umotza tahoros. If two of them checked and they found their tahor, okay, good. Hein tahoros or shlosha tmeia. So now they can assume the third one is the one who's tamei. Shloshtan umotza tahoros. What if all three of them did a bedikah and they all found their tahor? No good. Kulam tmei. All of them are tamei because again, obviously the blood came from somewhere. If we're talking about the blood is larger than a grit. If it was a grit, we said you can attribute it to a louse, then we don't have an issue anyway. If we're talking about the blood stain is larger than a grit, so there's no question it can't have come from the blood. The fact of the matter is, even one drop is enough to be metameh, right? And obviously the blood came from somewhere. So if none of them have any sores on their bodies or whatever that we could attribute,
if one is found to be tahor, the two others are found to be tamei.
Because
how can it be that two at the same time would be tamei? It's unusual.
No, but we don't know. It's a 50-50 chance, and therefore we have to be the tamei them both.
No, it's not. The two are tamei? No. It's a 20-80 chance.
Call it whatever you want. No. We're not saying that definitely both of them are tamei. We're saying which one of the two of them did it come from. It's a 50-50 chance. Did it come from Rachel or did it come from Leah? We have Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel over here.
Right.
If Sarah does the bedikka, and she's tahor, we know the blood must have come from Rivka or Rachel.
Yeah.
Which one did it come from? It's a 50% chance it came from Rivka, and a 50% chance it came from Rachel.
So why do we say both are coming?
What are we supposed to do? We can't say one of them. Which one are we going to say is Tommy? Which one should we say? It's Tommy more than the other. So therefore, we have to be metame them both in the office. Same principle as we said before. But for example, the clothing that was borrowed by two different women, where we say both of them are tummy.
When we say both are tummy, it's from suffix.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, the whole thing is summing. We're talking about summing is only a suffix, and then we're still metame. Yeah. So if all three of them...
Same time as
well, it depends. If we're doing the Yemei Nidah, then they're going to have to...
No,
of course, you don't bring a korban anyway unless she's a Zavik Dola, unless she's 3 days in succession. But if it's during her days of Nidah, then she's going to be Nidah for 7 days. If it's during her Yemei Ziva, she's going to be a Shemer Tiyem Kenegad Yom for 1 day. Lamaha Dover Jaima, the Mishnah says, what is this like? On the face of it, it seems counterintuitive. All three of them did a bedikah, and you're finding they're all tar, and you're saying all of them are Tomei. But Lamaha Dover Jaima, what is this like? Legal Tomish, and it's out of Vinchne Galim Dahurim. Imagine that you have one pile of stones, which is known to be tummy, like there was a kazayas of a mess in it, and it was confused with two other piles that are known to be tahor, and we don't know which is which. So what happens? So if we check one of those piles of stones and we don't find any tumah over there,
so
good.
This is halacha.
We're drawing an analogy between it and the case of the women. So if we check one of the piles of stones and we find that it's tahor, there's no tumah over there, good, who tahor shnayim tmeim? That one now has a chazaka that's tahor, and the other two, we still have a suffix between them and therefore their tumah is suffix. Shnayim umotza tahor, and if we check both of them and we find them tahor, heim tahor and shlishi tumah, then now both of them are tahor, and we assume the tumah is in the third one. But shloshtan umotza tahor, but if we check all three piles and we don't find tumah in any of them, and we know for a fact there was tumah here at some point, therefore, call them tmei, divir a mayor. So now a mayor is going to say all of them are tmei. So the same thing in the case of the three women. If all three of them did a bedikah, the blood had to have come from somewhere. So we're back to the topic among all three of them.
That they have to redo a bedikah.
How many times can you do it? No reason to assume that.
I would say the difference between this case and other cases that it comes to a pile of the others,
yeah.
And raise the achmuk mutins around.
Ah. Wait, that's what the Chachamim are going to say. Should a mayor oimer, a mayor says, here's a general rule, kol davar shu b'cheskas tuma, anything that has a chazaka of tuma, la'olam hu b'tum asay, it always remains tuma, ad shi yivad alecha tuma heichani, unless you find out where the tuma is. So if you check all three piles and you don't find the tuma, it means that you didn't check carefully or whatever, and therefore you still have, there's obviously still tuma somewhere over there and you missed it, and therefore you still have
to... That comes back to my point. Why don't we do the bodhika again? A second bodhika.
Fine, and if, she does, and, if they do a second bodhika and they all three come out to her again,
the
mayor
again. The three of them. But
yes.
If the second bodhika should still be done.
Fine, let's say, okay, so let's say they do a second bodhika and one of them finds she's tummy. Fine, the bottom line is, if they all do bodhikas again and again and they keep on finding their tahor, and they're going to say the fact is they're all tummy. But the chachamim argue, based on what you were just saying, Ellie, no, bodhik ad shemagiyah l'sela or l'sula. All you have to do in that case, the piles of rock, you check until you reach bedrock or until you reach virgin soil, which was obviously never dug up. If you don't find the tumah, then yes, you say the pile is tahor because, yeah, a mouse or a raven or what have you may have taken the tumah away.
How would a mouse take the
tumah? Well, let's say it was a kazayas menames, a mouse picked it up.
Woman.
Ah, so in the case of a woman, not necessarily. We're going to talk about on Amud Beis, actually, that the we're, I let me see. Yeah, we're, actually, no, we're not. But, no, you're right. The Chachamim are not. That's true, and we're actually going to say that in the Gemara, right? Okay, but at least as far as the case of the piles of rock, right? Okay, so it says right. So the mayor is saying just like. Wouldn't you have to agree with the piles of rock, and you should have to agree with the three women, or wouldn't you agree with the three women? You also have to agree the same with the piles of rock, and the Chachamim are saying, no, there's a difference. Right, that's what it is. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha Dolei Maslig, or Maishna Sefer Dolei Maslig. First of all, we have to ask, in the previous Mishnah, on Samach Amud Beis, we didn't distinguish between which one of the women we found the blood under. We said you find blood in the bed, all of them are tummy misafik. And here we're all of a sudden starting to make distinctions, whether it's on the inner part or the middle or the outer part or whatever. What's the difference? Amar Rav Ami b'mishulavai. So Rav Ami says that we're talking about that the case is where they're mishulavai. They're intertwined together. Well, actually, not necessarily intertwined. Rashi explains, mishulavai, there's a couple of explanations, but Rashi explains mishulavai means they're all lying in very close proximity one to the other. So therefore, even if you find it under, for example, the inner woman, because they're lying so close together, there's still a chance that they moved over far enough that the blood could have come from the outer one as well. Whereas the safer, we'll be talking about, they're not lying that close together. Each one is in her zone of the bed. So fine, they can move around a little bit, because people do move around a little bit when they're sleeping. You're still not going to have the one on the outside is going to wind up on top of the one on the inside. And therefore, right, so therefore in the ratio, you have a suffix on all of them now. Now, that explanation of Rashi assumes that it has a girsa in the Gemara that Rav Ami is saying Resha, the Mishalavis. The Resha, the previous Mishnah, is talking about where they're lying very close together.
Tosfos doesn't make a difference if the outer one, inner one.
That's the point, right. Tosfos, the Re in Tosfos says that no. We don't necessarily have the gears of Resha, and in fact, in our Gemara, we see it doesn't say Resha, it just says Mishalavis. So therefore, he explains that no, actually Rav Ami is saying that the Sefer, our Mishnah here on Tamach Aleph, is talking about Mishulavos. Mishulavos, according to him, means exactly the opposite of what Rashi understands Mishulavos. Means that each one is firmly in her place, and they're not mixed together, they're not intertwined, they're not their legs aren't on top of each other or whatever. So in the Sefer, therefore, we have a distinction where we find the blood. Whereas in the Resha, we're talking about, let's say, they're lying in a jumble, legs on top of each other, whatever, and therefore, right. Then he brings from Rabbeinu Hananel, who says the word is not Mishalavis, but Mishalchafi Shachufi, that they're sort of separated from each other. Same thing. That would mean in the Sefer that they're each lying separately, not touching each other, whereas in the Resha they're touching each other. Okay.
What about...
Fine.
Those who are bas mitzvah, let's say 12 or 15-year-old, they're small, they can move around, they're not big. What about that case? Here we're talking about adults.
Okay, I mean, if they're all 12-year-old girls, then you have to see how big the bed is. I mean, we're talking about that the bed is exactly big enough to fit the three of them, let's say.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about if they're, you know...
That's
the
bed.
Yeah, so if we're talking a bunch of small girls on a queen size bed, yeah, you might have then you might have to talk about, yeah, they might move around more, yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we said vodka achas v'chola. So we said that if all three of them did a bedikah and found their tahor, then we're saying all of them are tameh because the blood obviously came from somewhere and now we don't know which one. And then we said that lama davar daim. What is it like? It's like this case of the three piles of rocks. So the question is lama levamisni lamazet daim. Why do we need that analogy? What is that analogy adding to our understanding of the halacha about the three women? The answer is like we said before. The mayor is saying to the chachamim like this. I don't understand. Why is it when it comes to blood, you're not arguing with me? You agree that if all three of them did bedikas and they all found their tahor, we say that all of them are tamim misafik on the grounds of kesem. Why is it in the case of the three piles of rocks, if we checked all three piles, didn't find any tumah, and we knew to begin with there was tumah in one of the piles, why are you saying that all of them are tahor? And so you're being inconsistent. So that's why he's mentioning the two things together in the mission. It's to say, just like you agree about the three women, you should also agree about the three piles.
Three women, we say.
We say, even if they all three did bedikas and found they're all tahor, we say they're all tamim misafik, because the kesem obviously came from somewhere, from one of them, and we don't know where the stones. The mayor is saying the piles are all tamim. The chachamim are saying, once you check all three, you check down to bedrock, you didn't find anything, we say all of them are tahor. So the mayor is saying you're being inconsistent. The Rabbanon, so what are the Rabbanon answer to that? They say, because there's a difference. Like you said, Bishlema Hosam Ema Odev Nafla. When it comes to the piles of rocks, yeah, you can say that maybe a raven took away, or some other creature or whatever took away the tumah. Yeah, there was tumah there at one point. Why are you not finding it now? Because an animal took it away. Elohasa, but over here, in the case of the women, the bottom line is where the blood comes from. It had to have come from somewhere. Again, we're talking about it's larger than a grist, so we can't attribute it to a squashed bug or whatever. It has to have come from one of them. But yeah, if one of them had a nosebleed or whatever, yeah, we said in the previous predic that we can be toila, you know, we said she can be toila if she has a wound somewhere on her body, etc. But here we're talking about they don't have that. They're right. Okay. Tanya, we learn in a bright. So that's the difference. Oh, I'm saying. Tanya, we learn in a bright. So further on the side. Because he thought that they're similar. So here's some examples. Tanya, Omer, Meir. So the mayor says, I'm going to give you examples where they checked a place that was thought to be tumah and they didn't find the tumah and it turned out there was tumah there after all. So you see that, not necessarily, just because you check and you don't find, doesn't mean anything. Amr Amir, Maisa the Shikma Shokfar Sava, it happened with a Shikma tree, a sycamore tree, it's called in English, of Kfar Sava. I don't know if that's, there was a Kfar Sava in Eretz Yisrael nowadays near Herzliya. I don't know if it's the same one, maybe not. Anyway, Shohi Machzikin Batruma, they had a Chazaka that there was Truma somewhere in that tree, and therefore like Kohenim would avoid it, etc. So they checked the tree, they didn't find anything, so they figured, okay, maybe there's no trauma. Eventually there came along a hurricane and then blew on the tree and uprooted it. And what do you know? And it turned out that there was a skull in the roots of the tree. So there was trauma there after all. So you're saying they checked and they didn't find anything, and yet we see there was trauma there all along.
The question is, if it was just a weird place, how did someone know that the original was tomb?
At one point, let's say, 100 years earlier, they knew that somebody had been killed there, let's say.
Yeah,
and they,
that's where we're raising all the tumors.
Actually, now that you mention it, this point about Rameyer and his three piles of rocks is also brought in the Gemara and Sochin in connection with the Dinim of Bedikas Chomet, where you have Dinim over there. Let's say you have houses where some of them were checked for Chomet and some were not, and you're not sure which ones, and you checked all of them and you didn't find any Chomet, but meanwhile you have, let's say, a mouse brought Chomet into one of them and you don't know which one. Yeah, you're going to have to consider. You're going to have to be boarded them all over again. Yeah, you have similar things. Yes, brought in Sochin. Okay, anyway. So the same thing. So the mayor says, so you see, you're saying because you checked and therefore you can assume there's no tumor there, that a raven took it away. But here you see the tumor was there after all, and yeah.
Blood.
The Chum said we agree about the blood because the blood had to come from somewhere. Amrulai, so the Chum said, Misham Raya, you bring a proof from that case. Amrulai, blood could call sucker. You can say they didn't check thoroughly enough. But when we know they checked thoroughly enough, then yes, we can rely on their bedikah. Similarly, Tanya Omer Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi gives a similar example. Maisa b'ma'ara shol Shichin. It happened with a cave in Shichin, the name of a place in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. someplace in the Galil, I think, I don't know. Shoy machzikin batruma. Again, people had a chazaka that there's tumah in this cave. Again, I mean, we're talking about, you know, 100 years earlier, let's say, you know, they found a dead body over there, and they didn't collect all the parts of the body, so they figured there must be some tumah left over there. They started checking, they started digging and checking in this cave until they reached a layer of soil which was as smooth as a fingernail. So it's obviously never been dug up, it's never been worked. The loin muster, and they didn't find any tumor, so they're figuring maybe there's nothing there after all. Eventually, one time, some workers, there was raining, and so the workers went into the cave to for protection from the rain. They banged the ground with their axes or shovels or whatever. And they found a hole under the ground, under this ground, which they thought was virgin soil. They found over there a whole mortar full of bones. What?
An ossuary.
Yeah.
Shook it with their feet.
No, they banged their shovels or spades or whatever into there. No, just the pastures, because they were in the cave, and meanwhile, I don't know, maybe they were playing, or maybe they were bored, maybe whatever. They put down their axes with a bang or whatever, and all of a sudden they discovered this container full of bones. Yeah, Omruloi. So you see, in other words, the same thing. Just because you check down to Taukum Sula doesn't mean anything. Yeah, Omruloi. And again, Chum said Shamraya, you bring a proof from there. Amruloi Bodku Kol Soka. You could say the same thing. When they checked previously, they didn't check thoroughly enough. Obviously, if you find virgin soil, then there's no way you're going to find underneath it an ossuary or whatever full of bones. So therefore, there's no point. So obviously, it must be that the previous people who checked it didn't bother checking carefully enough.
A good example that you could find it under in Israel, the country finding under the finding layer and then finding.
But that's not virgin soil. That's soil that's previously been dug up. And they can, by the way, archaeologists, by the way, can recognize. You can have even hundreds, even sometimes thousands of years later, you can tell when soil has been disturbed versus not. Yeah. Okay, another example, Tanya Avasholim, Maisa Besela Beis Chorin, and it happened once with the rocky area of Beis Chorin. Beis Chorin is a city northwest of Yerushalayim. What?
Full of holes?
Well, No, it's not called Beis Chorin because it's full of holes. No, it's called Beis Chorin. That's the name of the place. There's actually a Beis Chorin Elyon and Beis Chorin Tacht and whatever. Nowadays, unfortunately, the Arabs have control of it, but it used to be the main road between Yerushalayim and the coast ran through Beis Chorin. You have a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions the narrow path of Beis Chorin, where, like, if you have two people are coming with camels in both directions, they can't both cross at the same time.
Wow.
One of them, they're going to have to take turns. So the Gemara discusses over there which one gets to go first. They tell a very famous story in that connection that during the early years of the State of Israel, we know that, you know, almost from what?
No,
this is a during the early years of the State of Israel, we know one of the first things the government set up is mandatory conscription to the army for both men and women. And many Gdolei Yisrael at that time were very opposed to it. They still have it, of course, right. And many, many Rabbonim at that time, if not most, were highly opposed to it because it's pritzus and there's all kinds of problems and whatever. Some of them went so far as to call it Yehoreg Bal Yaver. The Rebbe tried to work on it behind the scenes. Many others made public demonstrations or whatever. Anyway, so the story goes that the Ben-Gurion, the Israeli prime minister, went to visit the Chazon Ish and discuss it with him. You try to convince him that at least you shouldn't be so opposed to it. So the Chazon Ish tells him, listen, you know, when you were young, Davidul, you learned in Cheder, you learned that Gemara and Sanhedrin about the narrow path of Beis Chorin.
You have to learn that.
So they have the Gemara over there about the two camels, that are two camel drivers that are trying to cross this narrow path, and they can't both cross. If they try to both cross passing each other, they're both going to fall off and get killed, so one has to give way for the other. So which one gives way for the other? So the Gemara says, for example, if one of the camels has a heavy load on it and the other one is more lightly loaded, the one with the heavy load gets to go first. The other one has to give way for the lighter one has to move aside and let the heavier loaded one go first. So the Chazon Ish says to him the same way, we have a heavy load, we have a burden of thousands of years of Torah and Mitzvot. You have a state that's, what, 4 or 5 years old. You're the lightly loaded camel. We're the heavier loaded camel. You have to give way for us. And the upshot is they made some kind of it. I mean, he didn't totally accept it, but they did. They made some sort of compromise that Frum girls are not going to be drafted to the army, not going to be required to be drafted to the army. Yeah, whatever. I mean, the Rebbe was not really very satisfied with that compromise, because what Frum, not Frum? I mean, any Jewish girl is not supposed to be there, but whatever. This is how it worked out anyway. So anyway, so getting back to this.
No, this is in the early 50s.
Okay, so Meister Bestella Beis Chorin, and happened with the rocky area of Beis Chorin. Shahoya Machzikin Batumah. Again, people have, there's a chazaka, there's Tumah somewhere over there. V'layochlo Chachamim lived it, but the Chachamim couldn't check it like you usually would. Mifnei Shahoya Marubah, because it was a very large area, and how many people are you going to be able to get together to start digging up and see whether you find the Tumah? There was one old Talmud Chacham there. His name was Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. The Pashtus, this is the famous Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya of Shas. Although I don't know why the Braita introduces him in that way, like as if we wouldn't know him otherwise. I don't know. Anyway, Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya tells them, I have an idea. Havili Sdim. He says, bring me sheets, cloth sheets. They brought him a bunch of cloth sheets. He soaked them in water. And he started spreading these sheets onto this ground, onto this rocky ground where you have the Suffolk Tumah. What happened? Yeah. The places that are Tahar turned out to be dry. The places that have Tumah turned out to still be damp. Why is that? Rashi explains. Because the places that are Tumah are the places where the soil was previously dug up. Soil that was dug up absorbs water better. That's why you plow a field after all. Therefore, since it absorbs water better, the cloth stayed wet, as opposed to the other areas where the ground had never been worked, had never been dug up. The cloth dried out faster over there. So therefore,
that's underneath the dryer.
So now, based on that, they're able to check. Now they have a much smaller area to check, just the areas where the sheet stayed wet. Yeah. The Gemara mentions in Shabbos, by the way, that Reb Shimon did something similar when it came to the place in Tveria after the famous story where he was in a cave for 13 years, etc. He says, I have to do something good for the city. So he does something similar. There was a place where there was suspected tumor and they weren't sure. He did something similar. He actually there, I think it involved planting vegetables or whatever, but similar idea. He was able to pinpoint the places of tumor. And then they took out the tumor. Right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
So why didn't they do that with the shilling when there was a suffix?
It's a good question. I don't know, because they didn't have a chance to, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Ubodku, so now that they knew which are the areas that have the possible tumor in them, they started checking. Now they have a much smaller area to check. Umatsu bergado moleatsamas. And what do you know? They found a big pit full of bones. Tana, so we learn in a braisa, you should know, what is that? How does there come to be a big pit full of bones over there? Maybe, no, because they can tell they're human bones. Tana, we learn in a braisa, who have burst in mili Yishmol ben Nesanya Chalolin. That is the very same pit where hundreds of years earlier, Yishmol ben Nesanya, the guy who assassinated Gedaliah, for which we fast on some Gedaliah, he filled it with dead bodies. He was a Jew. So what happens was, the Psukim in Yumiya tell us the story. After the Churban, Nebuchadnezzar appointed Gedaliah as the governor of the few Jews who were remaining in Eretz Yisrael. He tells them, it's okay, you'll be safe from the Bavlim under my guidance. And the idea was that Hashem was giving them like one last chance, these few, to live in Eretz Yisrael and then reestablish it.
Gedaliah
ben Achikam himself was a tzaddik, and then Nebuchadnezzar appointed him as the governor of the remaining Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Because he had an interest in keeping Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to completely depopulate Eretz Yisrael. So whatever. Anyway, so what happened was this Yishmol ben Nesanya is jealous of Gedaliah. In particular, actually, based on Pesukim in Divrei Hayomim, it comes out that Yishmol himself was actually descended from Shevet Yehuda as well. His branch of the family was not the ones that the king came from, but he felt there was, to a certain extent, like he has a right to the kingship more than Gedaliah, who was not from Shevet Yehuda at all necessarily. That plus also he was hired by the king of Ammon, so he wound up going and assassinating Gedaliah. That's where we found some Gedaliah for that. And then the rest of the Jewish people got scared and then escaped from Mitzrayim, even though Yirmiyahu told them not to. Yirmiyahu warned that they came to Yirmiyahu, they said after Gedaliah was assassinated, what should we do? We're scared, and Nebuchadnezzar was going to blame us for Gedaliah's murder, and then he's going to harm all of us. And Yirmiyahu asked for Nevuah from Hashem. Hashem tells him they should tell them not to worry. They can stay in Eretz Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar is not going to harm them, etc., etc. But they were still chutzpah yachts, and they accused Yirmiyahu of trying to get them in trouble, and you don't care about our lives, etc., etc. And they ended up going to Mitzrayim and forcing Yirmiyahu and Baruch Ben Neriah to come with them. The upshot is that later on Yirmiyahu says to them in Nevuah that Nebuchadnezzar is going to end up conquering Mitzrayim and killing or exiling all of you. You think you're safe here in Mitzrayim, but you're not going to be. And in fact, that's what happened.
If you told him with, he was told by
Yeah, He had told them not to go, but yeah, they schlepped him and then Baruch ben Neri along.
They forced them?
Yeah, they forced them, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
who did they force?
They forced Yirmiyah, the Navi, and his Talmud Baruch. They forced them to go with them to Mitzrayim.
To go with them to Mitzrayim,
even though Yirmiyah was telling them you're not supposed to do
that. Is that why Nebuchadnezzar invaded Mitzrayim?
So later on, Nebuchadnezzar invaded and conquered it and took all these, then either killed and killed most of these people and exiled the few remaining ones, including Yirmiyah and Baruch ben Neri. Yirmiyah was also, he was safe, but he wound up in Babel and he passed away there. And then Baruch also, yeah.
You don't have to be able to hide from
them. Yeah, I guess so.
This was within
the few years after the Korban. Gedalia himself was assassinated 7 weeks after the Korban on Rosh Hashanah or on some Gedalia or whatever, and then Nebuchadnezzar invaded Mitzrayim about 8 years later. Yeah.
And that's what that big thing of bones was.
For 1 second. The part of the story was, the Pasuk described, that what happened was the day after Gedalia was assassinated, nobody knew about it yet except the people who had been there in Mitzvah. So now you have all of a sudden a bunch of people, 80 people it says, came from various cities in Eretz Yisrael, from Shechem, from Shiloh and Shomron. They didn't know the Beis Mikdash had been destroyed yet. They certainly didn't know Gedalia had been assassinated. So they're actually bringing with them korbanos to the Beis Mikdash. So on the way, the prophet described that they had their clothes torn, and the Gemara explains in Ma'od Katan what happened was on the way they saw the cities of Yehuda that were destroyed, and they tore their clothes because of that. From there we learn that when we see the cities of Yehuda that are destroyed, we're supposed to tear our clothes, yeah? Anyway, so they're coming towards Mitzvah, and they're coming towards Yerushalayim. This same Yishmael ben Nathania, the same Rasha, meets them on the way, tells them, come, I'll bring you to Gedalia, and then he brings them and then kills them all. Because he figured they might be potential allies of Gedalia or of the other Jews over there. He and his men took all the other Jews captive until there were some soldiers over there, as we're going to say soon, Yochanan ben Kareach, and some others who weren't there at the time, and they were able to free the captives and get them away. He managed to get away. He managed to run away to Ammon. We never hear from him again.
Yishmael
ben Nathania. Yeah, he ran away to Ammon.
He killed these people.
Yeah. So that's what we're saying. That was a pit full of bones that now they found hundreds of years later. Okay, sorry. I guess it's a little bit confusing. Okay, these 80 people are coming from Shechem, Shiloh, and Shechem. Yishmael meets them on the way and kills them. 10 of them actually, the prophet says, managed to talk them out of killing them, whatever. Meanwhile, Yishmael and his gang go and take everybody else in Mitzvah prisoner, and they're going to take them to wherever, to Ammon or whatever. Meanwhile, Yochanan ben Kareach and a couple of the other army captains who were not there in Mitzvah at the time of the assassination, they found out what happened, and they were able to come and fight with Yishmael's people and free the captives, and then Yishmael and his people got away, and the captives are there, and they're the ones who are worried about what should we do, should we stay in Eretz Yisrael, should we go to Mitzrayim, and Yirmiyahu tells them not to, and they wind up disobeying. So Yochanan ben Kareach, we're going to mention him in the Gemara in a minute.
You could just think after they saved them, listen to a Navi.
You would think. But,
after the Korban.
Indeed, but yeah. So that was this pit full of bones that Yishmael had killed these people. By the way, actually, the Malbim has an interesting explanation. If then we're going to have to stop now for Myra, but the Malbim has an interesting explanation. He says, so why did Yochanan kill these people? Not Yochanan. Why did Yishmael ben Nathania kill these 80 people? What did he have against them? He says he wanted to, it's called in English a false flag operation. He wanted to make it seem that Gedalia is this tyrant, is this dictator or whatever, who's killing anybody who doesn't listen to him, who's mourning the Beis Mikdash or whatever. So these people are coming with their clothes torn, meaning obviously they're mourning the Korban. So Yishmael pretends as though like he's Gedalia's agent, sent to kill anybody who's mourning the Korban. And therefore he does, and therefore he wants to make everybody like this. He killed Gedalia, and he wants to pretend like Gedalia was this horrible guy, and look at this. I'm this great guy who saved you from that horrible person. Whereas, of course, it was the other way around.
He was killing people like they're beans.
Right, well, you know, it's not, fake news is not a new thing, and, you know, people claiming to be the good guy when really the bad guy is not a new thing, yeah, you know.
Yeah, exactly. True.
Yeah. All right, so we'll stop now for Meyer, and we'll continue tomorrow, guys.